before we talk about districts, he had a monster week last week with the girls' district state duels on Saturday. I know we got a couple of state qualifiers around here on the girls' side. They're going to punch their tickets. And that girls, boy, girls wrestling, just more numbers each and every year, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's awesome, man. I mean, I think close to 1,300 up from around 700 last year. The conversation's already going about potentially going to two classes. Maybe next year, probably almost for sure in 2 years. It's just great to see that kind of growth.
Yep, it has no signs of slowing down, does it?
No. I was out in Fremont watching the girls wrestling there, and man, it was fun to watch. A lot of emotions, exciting and sad and all of it. But it was a wonderful tournament there, and I'm sure that kind of goes all the way throughout the state for those girls' districts.
State duels then at the Buffalo County Fairgrounds there in Kearney. We had Cambridge, kind of one of our local teams. Other, you know, Cozad, North Platte was there. So got a couple of Western teams, and some of those teams did quite well. I know Cambridge coach Rice down there, he was very happy with their 2-1-1 performance there in Class D.
You know, talk about a great season for Cambridge. I'm not sure that they were on all of the radars coming in, but man, they sure are now. I think we had Thayer Central predicted to make the finals, and Cambridge beat Thayer Central 54-27. They doubled them up. So the Trojans are hot at the right time. I know Gerlach, I think is how you pronounce it, at 106 is having a great year. Thayer at 126 has been awesome. Stanton at 152 has been doing awesome. So that's really, really neat to see for the Trojans. They've been doing great.
You bet. Cozad and Broken Bow, another Southwest Conference team that we know around here, did very, very well. North Platte in Class A. So strong, strong showing. The state duels, big hit, big success this past weekend.
It was a really big success. I love the state duels. I know that there's mixed opinions on it, but the dual atmosphere is impossible to beat, in my opinion, and good for the longevity of the sport. Cozad, obviously, you mentioned them. They did awesome. They lost to the eventual champ Omaha Scut, and then they had a close one with the defending champs Bennington for third. And they're right there. They actually beat Broken Bow at the Southwest Conference tournament on Thursday before state duels. So they're a wonderful team there in Cozad, and obviously Broken Bow kind of steamrolled their way through the tournament in Class C, and they're going to be tough to beat in Class C these next couple weeks.
Drew, we got the districts coming up on Friday, Saturday, of course, following our Bison wrestlers and that B4 up at Ogallala. And it's a little weird seeing Blair, you know, a good Class B team, and Blair coming all the way out to Ogallala. And Waverly's going to go all the way out to Ogallala. But that's just the way kind of district wrestling is these days, isn't it?
It's different, and it's funny because Scott's Bluff and Gearing, even further west of you guys, they're going to Ralston. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of joked, I mean, Ralston is Omaha, so they might as well just stay in Omaha between districts and state rather than drive 6-7 hours back home. But, yeah, then B4, always an exciting district out in Ogallala this year. Blair and Waverly are probably going to be duking it out for the team title. Lakeview's a solid group. McCook has had some good success recently too. It's been fun. Tristan Campbell at 145 has had a real good season, and 145 has turned into a really open weight in Class B. There's really not a clear front runner. Canyon Hosick at 160, he's been awesome. 160 is a super tough weight in the district. Alex Anthony, returning medalist, at 170, and then we like Quentin Terry at 220 also has been doing a good job.
That will be fun to watch once again out in Ogallala. And we mentioned that we got a number of teams in the D districts. We mentioned Cambridge. They got to make their world trip to Pender. They'll see Aquinas Catholic again, among many others, in a very tough D1 district there.
Yeah. I mean, I don't envy any Class D school that's in the same district as Aquinas. We'll kind of say that first and foremost. But Cambridge is going to be in good shape there. I mean, we were thinking, probably 7, 8, 9 qualifiers even. So, and that's, you know, anytime you can do that in a D district with 20 teams or so, however many are in the district, that's a good deal for Cambridge. And again, they've just been, you know, one of the more pleasant surprises in Class D this year. They're awesome.
That D4 district, I know up at Sutherland, a lot of area teams there from the local RPAC conference. I know Hitchcock County, we've mentioned them before, and I think before talking to you that, boy, the Falcons have been all so good this year. The conference champions just missed out on the state duels, I think, of qualifying, but Hitchcock County is going to be right in the thick of things to qualify a lot of kids, I think, out of that district.
Yeah, they are. We have them ranked number 9. I think Mullen and Sutherland are right in there as well in the district. So that should be probably a pretty exciting team race. Mullen also barely missed the state duels, but they have a nice group. I mean, again, it's looking probably similar to Cambridge, 6, 7, 8 qualifiers for Hitchcock County. And they're having a great year over there.
And then we've got other teams there. Again, they're really scattered in Class D as well. D3 at Thayer Central. We've got a couple area teams, and even D2 up at over just across the way down here at Southern Valley, some area teams. So, yeah, just because you're in one certain area, Southwest Nebraska, we got teams, seems like, in 4 different districts competing Friday and Saturday.
Spread out all over the place now, yeah. It seems like that's the trend. I know, in recent years, that's kind of been good for some and bad for some, but they do their best at evening the playing field that way. I know Southwest is up there in D2. Van Pelt and Ellis are looking good to qualify for Southwest. It's crazy, and it makes it hard for someone like me who when I wrestled and when I first started covering wrestling, it was all geographical, right? So, yeah, Gehring and Scottsbluff are always going to be in the Western District. Southwest is always going to be in D3 or D4. Well, that's not the case anymore. I think it's for the best, just to kind of, if you're a fan of making things as even as possible in the system, they have to do it.
Where you got to kind of hang out this weekend, one particular district or two you're going to be trying to cover a lot?
We're going to be pretty spread out. I'm probably going to be at B1 in Bennington. It's close enough to home for me to get over there, and you got Omaha Scut number 1 in Class B, and Bennington is number 2. So that's kind of where I have my eyes set on going to, but we're going to have boots on the ground all over this weekend. So
folks need to hit that website. Once again, Drew, you're going to have a lot of, I'm sure this week already have some great feature stories, previews, stuff like that, leading right into the weekend.
Right. We'll post our on anywrestle.com. We have a district hub. So it'll have links to every district. It'll have rankings, which we're doing today for free, which is not our typical MO, but we have free rankings, top 10, and then it also lists the district that the ranked competitor is in. So we'll have previews for all the districts, rankings brand new for free, links to all the districts, semifinal matchups, results, anything that you want to see, you should be able to get it all in one place, anywrestle.com.